So in the Angus on Dale Street, we've got a few beers in front of us, and I've got a few friends with me. It's John Gibbons hosting. I'm here with Sean O'Donnell, Tim O'Taney, and Kieran Molyneux, and we're here to talk about memories of fan parks, of stages. We're going to talk about Kiev. We're going to talk about Madrid, obviously. A little bit on guitar as well, which I didn't go to, but all the other boys did, and just generally what it's been like to start these parties. So we'll go all the way back to Kiev, Sean, which was sort of where this adventure started, really. Liverpool are in a Champions League final. Do you remember much about the first approach from Liverpool and how you felt about it? Because for us, like, to sort of start off with, we would have been unsure whether we should do it.
Yeah.
So what was the discussions in your WhatsApp groups?
Well, actually, I think the way it came about was quite funny. So we actually did an event in Liverpool for the Roma away game. We used to screen the Euro aways and stuff. And we won, obviously, we were all buzzing, and we ended up having a few shandies after it, shall we say. And it was me, Danny Nicho, and John Johnson, and we were all sort of sat there, and Dan had his phone out, just ready to text to Tony Barrett, that just said, "Boss Kiev" in capitals with a question mark. And I remember he always tells the story that he had sort of John on one arm of his shoulder, like the good angel, saying, you know, "Don't send it, wait till the morning, wait till your head's clear." And me on the left side, like the little devil, saying, send it.
That's like pretty
grim. Yeah. So we sent the message, and Tony Barrett replied pretty much straight away, I think, just saying, "Great idea, let's do it." Which was obviously, you know, an amazing feeling for us. Because back then, you know, obviously Bosses sort of grew since then. But back then we were just still an event at District for, you know, 300-400 people. And it was very much the hardcore that used to come. It was the away contingent, you know, all the lads, all the faces that you see now, you know, that are pretty much reserved for the middle balcony at the Olympia. That was our crowd, really. It wasn't to a bigger sort of mainstream LFC crowd like I guess it is now. So yeah, it was exciting times, and I remember sort of the build up, speaking with the club, and it was all quite. I mean, I think Madrid was a lot more structured than the Kiev preparation, because I think the Kiev preparation was all very much sort of, it felt very last minute. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know who was going to be on. We didn't know how long we were going to get. Because you're right, I think it was us, yourselves. I think Redmen TV had a slot as well, and we just didn't know what to expect. You know what I mean? So I think Kiev for me will always hold a special place in the heart, definitely.
Yeah, it's funny because I think people think that these things are a lot longer in the planning than what they are. I saw a couple of tweets recently, is like, oh, Boss will have all this boxed off, do you know what I mean? But you can't until you've got to the final. Like, the club is so superstitious, they won't sort of talk about it. Obviously, UEFA won't get into the conversations with you before they know who's sort of in the final. And so you just sort of left, and especially for this, when it was a bit of a shot into the unknown, it all was like, you know, will you do something? Yes, and like, let's make something happen.
That's it. And, you know, what a special day it turned out to be. You know, I always, you know, speak to UK all the time about it, don't I? And we say that, you know, Madrid was amazing. And obviously we'll come on to talk about that on a bigger scale. But I think the emotion at Kiev was just something I'd never experienced before. Then it was sort of, everyone was of the same mindset. It was this fresh thing that we were going into. And it was the unknown, because I remember getting there and thinking, oh, this is quite small, this stage. And it did feel small until, you know, 20, 30,000 people turned up, and all of a sudden it felt like the biggest stage in the world.
It's not until you see the aerial view, because when we first got there, there's like a water fountain in front of the stage. I was thinking, why did you put it there? It's like, there's going to be a few people here. And then fast forward like 3 or 4 hours, it was just the whole park was full. And I think there was like a small like bandstand style stage compared to Madrid. Madrid was a massive stage. Kiev was quite small. Like, it was like in the centre of the park. But as the day went on, people in the trees and everything were there. It was just Sean says all the time, we talk about it being special. It was the first time my head had been completely blown off by like a gig or like a Liverpool movement, because we'd done Boss for years in smaller venues and stuff, but we'd never been to a different country with it, and we'd definitely never been to Ukraine with it. You know what I mean? And then we'd never played to 30,000 people before, and it was just off its head. None of it can describe it. And it was that, I think it was because of the feeling that day that we come out the ground, even though we lost and booked a hotel in Madrid, because it felt like all roads led to that moment. And when it didn't happen, I was like, well, it mustn't be this moment, then it must be next year.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have any sort of concerns about doing something with the club? Because there was a little bit of that for us. Like, I mean, we're, you know, you're even more independent than us. If you're like, you know, we were doing little bits with the club, and that they were giving us player interviews every now and again and stuff like that. So we were working with Liverpool, whereas yous were and asked face the independent. So it was a little bit of a, well, do we want to do this?
Absolutely. I think, you know, over the years gone by, and this is probably not one's fault, but there has always been that sort of perception with the club that there's a different mindset than the fans, and especially the sort of local match going fans, which was our hardcore at the time. That was the people who were coming to our events. So we did have to think carefully about how we did it and how we did that. And I think, you know, the club have a lot of, you know, they're a big business. They've got a lot of rules that go with the stuff that they do, and you've got a lot of hoops to jump through, whereas we very much don't. So there was that. But, you know, the club's got a lot of credit recently, you know, no more so than me and Dan and the lads at Boss, because they've been brilliant, you know, from this that day in Kiev, you know, ever since then, really. It's been a sort of, you know, a partnership, if you want to call it. But the stuff that we've done together has been really good.
Yeah.
I think Tony Barrett's been key to that since he was there. I think there's definitely been a change in the tone of the club since he's been there. That's just looking at it from the outside in. But yeah, there was definitely a bit of trepidation going into that.
What I'd say is, Timo, is, you know, as, you know, we've all sort of been on that stage. People may be surprised that there's no one going, oh, what are you going to do? Do you know what I mean? What song are you playing? Like, no one's ever asked us. You know, they might have asked out of curiosity with us, like, oh, what is it you're doing? But yeah, it's never like, oh, you can't swear, you can't say this. Mm. They just trust you to get on with it, which is slightly mad if you look around the table.
Yeah. It's like, I remember, I'd done a gig. I think one of the first ones I'd done was in Sound Food and Zinc on Duke Street. It was after
Man City
game, was it? Yeah, I'd been in the match with my dad. Yeah, and I walked down and I thought, I'll see what this is about. I never used to play on. I hate playing on my own. Absolutely, still hate it. And turned up there, and he was like, it was absolute bedlam. The road was basically shut for a gig in like a 100 capacity bar. And then from there, I just seen, you know, it grown from there, going to the district, you know, and it. Because it's totally sad, sacked what I do, you know, with the band or whatever. It's totally different, and no one's ever saying to me, oh, you know, what are you playing? I remember doing an Anfield rap gig, and I'd done about 11 songs in 7 minutes. And I came off stage, and he's like, Sandy, it's been 7 minutes. I was like, oh, sorry. Because I don't really prepare, because I just never know what, I like going into them, just not knowing what to expect. And, you know, like I never went to Kiev, but, you know, doing gigs in Munich and over in the like, bloody Ireland a couple of times with 2 years. It's been a great journey.
Yeah. Do you feel like for both of you really being able to combine your music with football, like, it's quite a sort of unique thing, because you've both been going to match, you know, since a very early age, really. And when I was growing up, it sort of felt like, oh, you know, I had my music part of my life and my footy part of my life, and they were sort of, you know, different. So to be able to bring them both together is a pretty special thing.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, when I was younger, I was obsessed with Liverpool and I was obsessed with music, but never thought the two could combine into like a career or anything like that. But as I got older and I was so immersed in Liverpool, and then Boss came about, it naturally happened. And just through pure passion of loving Liverpool and loving music so much, I ended up in this situation where you can go around the world and play into, you know, different people in different countries and taking our culture on the road, not just, you know, our influence as a music city and as a musician, but our club and what we represent and our identity. So yeah, it's a special thing, like, to be able to combine the two. It's the two things I love most in the world, Liverpool and music.
Yeah, there is the thing, though, if you realise how important Liverpool is as a city across the world, you know, the football club and the music, that does all go hand in hand, really. And, you know, it did feel quite distant through the time, because, you know, the bands were knocking around. It was, you know, when I was 15, 16, I kind of stopped going to match to get into going to gigs. And it did feel very separate, whereas now I think it does feel very connected. You know, you're seeing the same lads at gigs you're going to than what you do when I go away and go to match. Or, you know, you're seeing these same people, and it's not separate, it's all the same. It's all on the same road, really.
Yeah. Have you got any particular memories of Kiev that sort of stand out for you? I remember the kids lying in the front for sort of Jamie and stuff like that. I remember there being a vantage point towards the right as well, that like the police were trying to get everyone down from, because there was about 100 lads on 6 square foot of like thing. Like,
but yeah, I've got quite a few. You know, as I say, that's I've got some really special memories of Kiev. I can just remember quite a lot of the day quite vividly. I can remember Tom Cassidy's face when me and, I think it was me and UK, wasn't it? It might have been me and Dan. Yeah, he told us not to put the Boss banner off because LFC and all that, but we had a few drinks and we went, come on. So we get to so we just put this boss banner up and he looked at me going, and it was just quite a funny moment because the crowd straight away then got up and was just like, you know, they seen that banner and they were like, right, this is it now. Because even though they knew it was a boss event, that's what people were saying, oh, are you going to boss all this? It still had a bit of a club feel, I think, with the LFC thing back there. And I remember putting that up. That was quite a special moment. And I remember the police coming on stage. Do you remember that? They all sort of lined the stage. There were quite a lot of them. They had quite big guns, I think.
And that just got me going on with the guitar.
Yeah. And just sort of standing and stopping. And I think, of all people, Steve Mono was the person that managed to calm them down. Yeah, that part of them. So,
sorry for the counting.
Yeah, exactly. But the big takeaway for me with Kiev, and it's, again, it'll always stick with me, it's the emotion on Jamie Webster's face as he's singing. You know, obviously, he's really, really talented guy, and we know this now through what he's done over the last few years. But that day, just seeing the emotion pour out of him, seeing like the tears like fall out of his face as he's singing LA at the time, it was just such a special moment. And you know, and with Kiev, what he said before, I don't look at Kiev and say, oh, we lost the Champions League final. I look at that and say that was the start of the journey, really.
Yeah, it did feel like something sort of changed that day for me, Kieran, in terms of a lot of things, in terms of the Anfield rap and how we saw ourselves. And you know, we always thought our live show had to be a sort of certain thing to our people, but it gave us a lot more confidence, me and Neil, to do stuff for any Liverpool crowd, really. And also, we changed the relationship with the club. I think there was a lot of people from Liverpool there who thought, actually, you know, we can get these people involved. And so a lot of the stuff like the tours in America, we used to do competing events with Liverpool, and we'd like try and get ours on sale first before they put it downstairs and stuff like that, which is mad now, because now we do stuff together. And but I feel like a lot of that's because of Kiev and because of the realisation, you know, that day, that actually if we all do something together and more powerful and we trust the people who are connected to the fan base or whatever, then we'll do something better. So, and also, I don't know, in so many ways, like, I mean, I let you talk, but it just felt it changed a lot for me, for us and for the relationship with Liverpool and lots of things.
It's funny you say that, because I'd never played on my own until after Kiev. I'd always played with someone. Years ago, we used to use Tom, didn't I? Used to play with Tom years ago with Boss Nights and stuff. And I was playing with Jamie at that time, playing like lead guitar for Jamie almost. Never seen myself front and centre. And as you say, one Kiev happened, it felt like, hang on a minute, we just played, just done this here, and have a go, come home. And then Nico rang me from Boss and was like, we're going to Ireland. Did you play a set on your own? I was like, yeah, right, I will. As you say, felt more legitimate. Everything felt real. Yeah. After that moment, I felt like there was more work to do. It wasn't like the end of it. As you're saying, I didn't feel like, oh, we just had this massive opportunity and missed out. It was like, we all kick on from here. Boss, as you say, went on thinking we've done nearly every knockout game. We've done a Boss Night in the Champions League the season after on the way on. And, you know, Anfield Rap, massive shows all over the place. And me personally, I went on to be a solo artist and really, really believe in myself because of what happened in Kiev, you know what I mean? We played in a foreign country for the first time. There was times where I never thought I'd even be a musician or have the front to do it, you know what I mean? And ended up finding a confidence through Boss and kicked on to everything we've done over the past couple of years.
I think there's something in the togetherness thing that you've said there, because if you think about that stage, that day, as we said, we had Redmen TV, yourselves and Boss. We were very much separate entities at that time. You know, it was, you know, we were mates, we'd see each other at the match, but we never really spoke about doing things together or, you know, even this sounds bad, even supporting each other. I remember it was almost a little bit of rivalry at the time. Whereas since from that day, I feel like we've all sort of realised that actually this is better together, we're better doing things together. And from that, I feel like, you know, we've all grew as separate entities and realised, as I've just said, like doing things together is stronger.
As mates as well.
Yeah.
That's
the
other thing as well, from like looking outside in, it's like, I always find that a lot of my mates and a lot of people, you know, even all kind of undervalue themselves really and kind of don't see how important they are to the bigger picture, you know, and Liverpool, being honest with FC, we're very fortunate in finding Boss, the Anfield Rap and the Men TV and saying, you know, this is important to us as what we are to them. And, you know, seeing that he's a professional, seeing that he's turning up and do things on the spot, you aren't just like turning up the likely lads, you know what I mean? You're doing it proper legit. He's a professional, you know what I mean? And what you do, so I think that's very important as well. Don't undervalue how important you are to the club.
So you seeing all that in Kiev and thinking, I'll have a bit of that, like,
I don't even know, yeah. I did see it. I remember watching in District, I think, the final that day. I walked from ours right the way down Otter Spiel. It was mad. It took ages. I was probably getting like updates from Sean and that on the phone. But yeah, and then I was always just like, you know, whatever gigs they asked me to do, I'll just do them. So that's where it came from with me.
But you did Madrid.
Yeah, Madrid, Alicante, Glasgow, Alicante, Madrid, yeah. One of the greatest 3 days of my life. It was unbelievable. But even that, it was 2 days before Danny phoned me. I was on Lark Lane. Nick Holman said, do you fancy doing Madrid? I was 100%. What an amazing, like, you know, thing. And that'll be. And turn up in the daytime, you and Neil, probably first when I got there. There's about 50, 70 people there. I'm thinking, this looks all right. It's a good stage, nice place. I haven't been to Spain for ages. And then went for something to eat and then came back. It was like thousands there. It was like, you know, that escalated quickly.
Kiev to Madrid was like the introduction stage at Glastonbury to the pyramid, wasn't it? That was like how much it changed. It was like, I remember just thinking, oh my God, like seeing the size and the scale of Madrid. Even though, as I said, Kiev was for me the special one, but Madrid was just like another level on scale and stuff.
Well, if you remember, we'd done the Echo Arena on the Monday night and it weren't the biggest gig of the week. That's how much things had changed. We'd gone from like sound, food and drink and district to Kiev, and next minute it was Paris, Munich, Razzmatazz, Barcelona at 1:30 in the afternoon, like 27, 28 degrees outside, thinking, we're not going to fill this. No one's going to come and watch us here. It's like it's roasting outside. Next minute, bang, as you say, thousands of people.
People ringing me outside saying, get me in, get me in. I was like, it's not my gig.
By the time we got to Madrid, we'd all, it changed. Everything had changed for me personally because it had gone from small gigs and like feeling, as you say, underestimating yourself a little bit to like smash Paris there, just smash Munich there, just smash Barcelona. Now we're in Madrid, let's do this. And what we do is, as well, it's not about me, it's not about, I'm sure Jamie feels the same and you feel the same, it's about the people in front of you. We're at a European Cup final, we all do our own music and we're all passionate about writing music and stuff like that, but we're there for Liverpool, we're there to make this day the best day it can be for everyone, and then take that into the ground, take it onto the pitch. And it's no coincidence that since we've all been on the same hymn sheet and, as you say, all have this togetherness and become mates and started working together, everyone singing from the same hymn sheet, the atmosphere is better, the team are better, it works.
Munich was pretty good on one as well.
Yeah.
just the road to Madrid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's... Yeah, we had a good time to meet him. As I say, Kiev for me was the turning point because we'd only ever done gigs in Liverpool and, you know, relatively small venues at the time then. And from Kiev, we obviously had the road to Madrid, which was, we did a gig in Paris in the group stages when we played PSG. So we did the gig there. Keo, you played that one, didn't you? That was a good day. I never actually went over to that one, but I remember seeing all the videos and stuff, and that was like the congregating point for everyone, wasn't it? Everyone was congregating outside.
It was in a brewery and it ran out lager.
Yeah. So we did that, and then obviously I think we got Bayern Munich in the second round. That's the one me and you had a good time.
That was some dressing room, that, by the way.
Yeah.
Colin Murray, yeah. Stephen Warnock, Paddy the Baddy, two fan groups from Germany.
Yeah.
And then this like mad German Buffy with like beer, coleslaw and stuff like that. It was a mad dressing room, that one. It was a mad dressing room.
We've had some mad ones, to be fair. But no, that was a good one. That was another one that was huge, wasn't it? What was that, like 2,000-3,000 people at that one?
Yeah, well, I said to John Johnson, who's a vegan, I said that there's a gaff down the road, I've seen it on my way and it looks amazing. So I walked for about an hour and a half to get this vegan cafe, got there, and he noticed that the fella done his vegan fucking them chippy things.
Oh, falafel.
Falafel. But he'd done it in like the same deep fat fryer, he was frying sausages in that, so John's head was burnt. I was like, I'm not eating that.
Then when we got back, he saw someone eat a salad box,
The fact that we went 1-3-0 at the Allianz as well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. To go to Munich, 3-1. Do 2,000 or 3,000 man gig and then go to the Allianz and then just batter Bayern Munich, like this dreamland stuff, innit? You know what I mean? At this point, and we hadn't even won a European Cup yet. You know what I mean? We went on to win it.
I just remember when you talked about Barcelona, we put a video out of you singing. I might have filmed it behind you on stage, and it was "We're Going to Madrid" with the song, you know, Rotterdam and everything. We put it out, and then when we got beat 3-0, there was loads of like Manx quote tweeting it and all that, like having a go, and I was like, just sit on this. When we won 4-0 the next day, I went back to every 4-1. But yeah, I just remember it was you singing it, yeah, and I was just like, I went to Manchester, it was, the BBC, and then, so I was on the way back from Salford in a taxi, just fucking replying to
it. It's mad, isn't it, Barcelona? Because again, that was another one on the journey in terms of a gig that we did that day. We did Razzmatazz, as Keo's just said. You forget that we lost that game 3-0.
Yeah.
And so it's just mad, isn't it? Like the times we've had. I think what I would say about all of this is that, and this isn't just us sat around the table, I think this is just Liverpool fans in general. We're very lucky people.
Yeah.
Like you think about the experiences we've had, you know, just even the opportunity to go to Kiev and do that, and what's happened from there is unbelievable. And you think about what's happened in the last 18 months and not being able to do anything, to all of a sudden everything's back on again and we're looking like, you know,
in style as
yeah,
absolutely the case. So Madrid then, I remember it being like, you know, it was a lot more organised. It was a lot more like, right, you know, it felt like the conversations were happening a little bit earlier, like basically if we get through, you know, are you sort of interested type thing. This is, you know, there was a little bit of chat before Barca, I remember, and there was obviously determination to, I mean, Kiev was brilliant, but maybe learn a few things from there. And knowing Kiev, they had to basically go where they were told, whereas this time, I know they went over the club and said, no, that stage isn't good enough. No, this, you know, we want this space and stuff like that. And it felt like all the conversations were, how can we make it bigger and better?
Absolutely. I think it was like a military operation compared to the Kiev one. I think it was run like a proper festival, and it felt like a proper festival, I think.
Like Sound City were involved in all that.
Yeah, they were. And listen, we've said it a million times, but credit to the club, they got it right at the end of the day. It would have been quite easy to just go off piece and say, okay, Kiev was great, but let's just do our own thing now, or let's just take the learnings and do it slightly differently. But they didn't. They backed us again. You know, they backed yourselves. It was a bigger lineup. I think this time it was more of a festival style lineup.
I remember people messaging me from home saying, "Have I just seen you rapping with John Barnes on telly?" I was like, "But I didn't know it was on telly, but it did happen." Like, but you know, it was just one of those sort of surreal moments, really. But they did try and get other people involved, like, you know, you mentioned Colin Murray before, he did the DJ set, Chelsea Grimes. Yeah. He's fucking on. You can't put her on the telly now, can you? But you know, she was a major artist at the time doing a set, and it was trying to be a bit like something for everyone, but then keeping that feel of, you know, the crescendo is the boss stuff.
Absolutely, and I think it works, to be fair, and to give them credit. You know, again, it could be quite easy to just say, let's either roll with the stuff that we want to do or just give it all to the boss and do it, but they did it slightly differently, and I think it worked. And you see the amount of people there, you can't just have it one shoe fits all, can you? Because it is such a big crowd, you've got to cater for everyone, and I think they did a good job.
It's a unique club as well, and if you have these conversations generally, then you look at fan parks for finals, you look at UEFA Cup finals, European Cup finals. Fan parks are usually, you'd see Wembley at the weekend, usually quite small. There's a Chelsea little area to congregate. It's quite easy to shut the conversation down. I'm like, yeah, all right, there's not going to be 100,000 people there. There's not going to be 70,000 people there. There's a video, I think, when John Power was playing. It's on YouTube somewhere, but it's, I think, a Spanish local who's took it from one of the apartments on the side. And it just scans over the top of it. It's just an absolute sea of people. It was like from the stage, you couldn't see the end of it. You had that like cricket stump. Yeah. And behind that, it just got like hazy. Like when you were a kid, you look at the road when it was hot in the summer and it got tarmac. Like it was melting.
Tarmac bubbles everywhere.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. And it was just an absolute sea of people. And we went and won the European Cup. That's the maddest thing about this time. We actually say Kiev was like amazing and special, but there's always that thing of like, we've won the European Cup after Madrid. We actually got the job done. We got the whole place up for it. All of us, and then we all went in the ground and we all won the European Cup.
I think that's the other thing you just said there. I was thinking about this before. I mean, fan parks, I don't think I've ever been cool, have they? Like, you know what I mean? Fan park, you'd never think, oh, let's go to fan park or let's do this.
It reminds me of like inflatable footy pumps and all that stuff. Yeah,
exactly. And I can't think of many other clubs that would have a fan park where everybody was bought into it, everybody went to it, everybody was sort of, you know, singing from the same inches, wanting the same thing. I think that is very unique to Liverpool, particularly as you said, with such a diverse lineup. It's not something that you think, oh, let's go and, you know, just stand there and sing Liverpool songs all day. There's quite a lot on offer. There was in Madrid anyway, so I think it is a unique thing.
How do you build a set for something like that? Because for these boys, like, it's a bit more like, you know, you've done the shows and stuff, so you know what Jamie does, you know what you do and stuff. But for you, like, you've got a bit of a blank sheet. How's he say what you're playing?
Thing's still a blank sheet. I can't remember really.
Tatar, you covered the Jungle Book.
Yeah. I don't know. I try not to. I usually, it's dead funny though, because when I started playing guitar, I say, look, I don't learn covers. I just want to write my own music and that, and my own tunes. Don't see the wasting time in learning someone else's songs. Then suddenly you're playing in front of 50 odd thousand people and you've got to play someone else's song. And you think to yourself, this is not what I plan to do, is when I picked up a guitar. But I can't really remember that. It wasn't about me playing that day for me. I just honestly remember like sitting off with John Barnes, we've been in that hotel with you, giving like half pints for about 10 minutes and just not being asked at all what I was saying to him. He's just like, but he was dead sound, but he was like, John,
at the back of the stage.
Yeah, I was like, just, John, you want to be best, like, favourite ever players ever? And he's just like, yeah. I like John. But then I remember coming off and then walking around and just all the time, there's a picture of me with all yous and I remember feeling boxed down and then I remember seeing my dad's cousin there outside in the crowd and I remember walking through a few times, just saw a lad doing old Mick Wynn, he gave me a pint of wine. Which was boss. I was like, fucking hell, is that a pint of wine? He's like, yeah, brilliant. And then saw like loads of different people, but then standing watching Jamie at the end of it and just like at the back of the stage and just, I kept walking up and down, like just looking out and thinking, this is like a moment that, you know, no matter whatever time it is in my life, I can just look back at this and think, what a moment to actually be from Liverpool, be a footballer, you know. Forget it, even goes as far as, like, I just felt so proud of, you know, being a part of something so big and so important in Liverpool's history.
I think it's a really good point, and you can't underestimate or give enough credit to what Jamie's done. I think that's what I'd say. I think like the talent that he's got as a singer is one thing, but to be able to sort of galvanise a whole support where we know that there can be different thought processes in our fans and that, and they think different things about different people, but to galvanise absolutely everyone, to you know, every single person that I know supports Liverpool loves him, and he's done that through his talent and through knowing what to sing, right, how to do it properly. Because if someone would have told me, you know, 10 years ago that someone standing up with a guitar singing Liverpool songs would be the thing, I'd be like, nah.
Never mind the thing, Van Dijk sitting there watching it on an iPad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. For the match.
He's having a jam with Alisson.
Yeah, no, honestly, I couldn't respect him more, to be honest. I think he's been amazing for everything. I think he's a key part of why it is so successful and why the scale is what it is, because he manages to sort of keep everyone up for him.
To the point where the players win the FA Cup and they've got the Boss album on in the changes.
Good team.
Yeah. Look at the videos, you've got Jamie playing in the changes and they're all singing each other's songs at each other.
Oh, class.
I remember the first time it got weird that something had got through to the players was it was like the Naby Keita song with Andy Robbo. And you got, oh, I remember the Rotterdam one as well, Jackie Abbott tweeted, but the Naby Keita and Robbo one, Nicho texted me saying, Tony Barrett just said there that apparently the players had made up with a video from District. And I was thinking, it's getting through to the players now. And again, fast forward 12 months after Madrid, and it's like the players know each other's songs.
Yeah.
They're all singing in each other. Mind blown.
A couple of us were lucky enough to do the party after Madrid, and I remember I was speaking to Andy Robertson and Jamie come over and introduced himself to Andy Robertson. Andy Robertson's like, I know who you are, lad, we all love you and all that. And Jamie's head went completely like he thought he was going to be like, you know, introduce himself. And Andy's like, and was saying to Jamie, like, nice one for everything you do. And like, Jamie didn't know where to put himself to. And I remember much later on, about 5:30 in the morning, I was playing tunes and
in the room you and Neil.
No, this was still at the party, and I was DJing, and then Tom Casty came over and went, you just paused the music a bit, like Andy Robertson wants to sing, and I was like, all right, sound. And then so I paused it, and I couldn't see him, but I could hear him, was just singing all the players' songs and stuff like that. Like, he was like, you know, wants to do all that. I was like, I'll fucking play them if you want. But yeah. it is incredible sort of how it's gone through. I know you were not one of what you need to run off, Timo, so just want to do a little bit on guitar. First of all, because you went out there, like,
my dad came as well, yeah, so that was boss. Yeah, our fella came over with us, was dead nice, you know. But yeah, it was, what a place. Terrifying, to say the least. It just felt like I was going like somewhere off Star Wars or something. Just mad when you got there. It was like, fucking hell, are we really playing? I was remember the fan part.
It was massive.
Massive. Yeah. We were miles away from like...
Mm-hmm. Qatar was an interesting one because Qatar wasn't actually with the club. Qatar was independent. That was something that we did ourselves, basically, as boss and sort of programmed the whole thing and working with partners and agencies over there, but it was completely independent, which was different for us because I think Kiev, Madrid, it was very much hand in hand with the club, whereas Qatar was slightly different. And, you know, the setup over there, as Timo says, honestly, massive. Unbelievable.
The golf buggy with our name on, take us for ciggies.
It was boss. It was what a great adventure that was. And again, we were all in the same hotel together, weren't we?
Yeah.
In the pool of the daytime and stuff.
It was, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah. Remember thinking, this is living in it, you know what I mean? Then watching Liverpool win as well, boss.
Yeah, I know. It's,
what a time.
Felt massive, that, didn't it? Watching them win the Club World Cup. Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
That's still my proudest moment. Is the rest of this to you on stage when we done the show the other week. Like, my proudest moment as a Liverpool fan is Qatar, because it's the first time Liverpool had done something that had never been done before. Like, as a kid growing up, I was always told by my uncle and stuff, you know, Liverpool used to go to places and teams to try and keep the score down. We get to Wembley every year. We were always in a title race if not winning it. Them days will come back. But like, you could never ever say the World Club Cup would come back one day because we'd never won it before. So to go out there and be part of a generation of Liverpool fans that's seen something for the first time and be part of, yeah. How many Scousers have played in Qatar, musician-wise, you know what I mean? It's probably me, you and Jamie, the only ones. Yeah.
Do you remember
the fella introduced us?
I got DJ Kieran Molyneux. Come on, stitch me up.
This fella can only meant, they've had 5 number one albums in England, the two Street Boys. Boss. What a fella.
Do you remember on the day of the game, and we were thinking, oh, this is going to be like Madrid, KF style, full of Liverpool fans, it's going to be amazing, that Kiogo was play a set and it's just full of Flamingo fans
outnumbered 10 to 1.
First time you ever been anywhere.
I've
been outnumbered because normally Liverpool go, it's just a sea of Liverpool, isn't it? And we out sing and we fill the fan parks, but these were rad up for it, like. And I walked on stage just to like a big wave of booze and was thinking, this is not what it's meant to be like this. But in the end it was still one of the, because the Liverpool fans were all at the bar at the back, I think, and by the time you realised they were getting a bit of stick, it sort of but they were great in the end, the Brazilians.
They were just
very passionate about their club and they wanted to repeat 81, I think, and you know, and do us again and stop us winning it, but unfortunately we had other ideas, didn't we?
Indeed.
Good time. Right, I'm going.
See you in Norway.
See you in Norsh.
Yeah, we're into Oslo.
Face them up.
See you later.
See you soon. Back to Madrid. Kieran, what's your memories of right, of the stage you set and everything else?
I can remember I was about to walk on and I was tuning my guitar. I felt this big hand come on my shoulder. Alright, Keo, some night on Monday night. I thought it was him at first. It was Phil Thompson, and that just sort of proper settled my nerves. I think he just said Keo there. He was like, this is great, this is a 2-time European Cup. Well, that just settled the nerves completely. And then when I walked on, to be honest, I can't really, I can remember more of the videos I've seen since. It was just, I was just in this big, blare of madness, you know, to be able to play this amount of people on European Cup final day for Liverpool, representing our city and everything like that. It was just really, really special. But I remember, I didn't plan to. I just covered Imagine at the end of it. I didn't have, that wasn't on my set list in front of me. I just thought, I'm going to sing Imagine here. I'm going to have 70,000 people singing Imagine before a European Cup final. I'm right up for this. So at that moment, I remember stopping and just hearing, you. Yes, this is. And then coming off and then just, remember coming off and just thinking, we've got to win the Cup now.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to win the Cup now. And then when once Jamie was on, and Timo touched on it, we all stood on the stage and there was a few flares and stuff popping off and I was playing, but when Jamie come on, the place just went, oof, and it was just an absolute sick. And at that moment, I knew we wanted to win it, and we did.
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously a bit of doubt at one point whether Jamie was even going to go on, Sean. Like, I think I was in the air-conditioned hotel at the time, but I remember coming out and there was a police presence in at the hotel, and Peter Moore there trying to talk him out. Something's gone wrong here.
I know the stories that don't get out. It was touch and go at one point. I remember being pretty worried, but you know, you're right. I think Peter Moore and co managed to talk him round. But yeah, I'm glad they did, because as Keo says, you know, just looking at the footage from that day, I mean, it's a blur for me just thinking back to that day and everything, what happened and what went with it. I
forgot about that, you know, like, because yeah, you're during Chelsea's set, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she just ended up singing a cappella.
And
I
remember Nichols saying to me, don't know whether you're going to be able to go on here. And I was like, what? And then I was fine, but it was like half volume. I remember it being it, like, at the start of my set, thinking, this isn't turned up fully, this. And then as I was playing, he sort of gradually turned it up. And then Jamie, I remember thinking, stressing, is Jamie going to be able to go on here and stuff like that? Because there was loads of big police presence. Yeah. That's twice we played Fan Parks and had a big police presence.
Yeah. What I was thinking with these now is, you know, we're looking ahead to Palace. We're hoping for something sort of similar. Being involved in them, you sort of feel like always the responsibility now, Sean. But that Kiev, you know, we've all said it, we just turned up, not knowing what to expect. We actually arrived 10 minutes before we were due on stage. We'd driven for 70 hours or something. And you couldn't do that again if you fucking tried. You know what I mean? 10 minutes before, you know, suddenly we're ushered on and we were like, boom. So we didn't even have time to think. But none of us knew what to expect. Then Madrid, you know, you wanted to be bigger and better. We got there the night before. That time we'd learnt. And it was great. But the thing is with Madrid, for me, is so many people saw Kiev and saw the videos of like Keo and Jamie playing and everything, the atmosphere, you know, the people having, you know, Child of Trees and thoughts, I'll go just for that. And there's obviously people go with the hope of getting a ticket, but there's also plenty of other people who are like, I just want to be in the city. And that's a reality. I know that UEFA don't like it, but that's sort of where it is. And I know people who still talk about Madrid, for example, who like, I was like, oh, did you go? Oh, no, the fan park's there, match. The fan parks, that's what they're going for. That's their thing. And so I always feel like, you know, if it does happen in Paris, like, you've got a responsibility to them people, because that's their cup final.
Oh, you feel a huge responsibility. And, you know, listen, we're getting messages 3, 4, 5 every 10 minutes asking if we're doing something in Paris. And as you touched on that, I really hope we are. But you're right, it comes with responsibility, because my biggest nervousness is that, you know, Madrid was so good. That, how do you repeat that? I'm not sure you can repeat that, no matter where you are, if you're in the best location in the world, in any city, anywhere. I'm not sure you can get something as good as that again. And it's like, I mean, I thought that after Kiev, to be honest. And,
yeah,
exactly. and look, we did that. But it does come in responsibility, and it gives you the sort of, you know, the focus, really, and the hunger to make sure that if something does happen, we can go one better and we can do it. And I think that's just been our ethos for everything we've done, you know, for every show we do, to be honest, since then, since it all comes with responsibility. But these with particular responsibility, because as you say, there might be people going over there who aren't going to the match. They're going to soak in the atmosphere, enjoy the day. And the fan park has now become a big part of it, particularly from what we've had in recent times. So, yeah, I am pretty nervous, to be honest.
But to be part of these events as well, Keo, that people are going to talk about for years, like, is quite humbling as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, in 20, 30 years' time, when people talk about this period, Jordan, Jurgen Klopp, I mean, obviously, you know, they'll talk about what happens on the pitch, you know, first and foremost and stuff like that, but when they're telling stories of the final, like, the fan parks are going to be a huge part of it, and we're part of that. And that's slightly mad from someone who grew up watching Liverpool videos, hearing these stories of finals and stuff and what people got up to and people bunking into parties after and, you know, and stuff like that. And for us, like, we're part of these big events. And I don't know, if you think about it for too long, you get a bit dizzy.
I was about to say that, you do get dizzy if you think about it for too long. But it's special to be a Liverpool fan anyway. So to be part of any bit of the match day culture or any fans match day routine or final day is even more special for me. You know, like I say, grew up on stories, and there was a point I was watching Liverpool where I thought, are we ever going to be that good again? Are we ever going to go to European Cup final again? Like, never mind do what we do in European Cup finals now. And I think I've said it just before, there's no secret since we've all been on the same hinge sheet, and since the club are getting things right, and since we've been doing what we're doing, and all, we've started winning cups, and we've started having every fan going to a fan park, singing off the same hymn sheet. There's only one final thing under Klopp, we haven't done a big fan park, and we lost the final in Seville, you know what I mean? So it must be a good luck charm.
I think as well, you know, you mentioned Klopp there, you sense that he really appreciates it, and he's, you know, when he's having conversations with the club, he's like, keep that, whatever's going on, just keep it going, because it means a lot to the players, and you can see how, you know, it's galvanised us, you know what I mean? Like in Madrid, like, I, I don't know, we would have marched there if we could have, you know what I mean, straight after sort of Jamie played. And you sense for Jürgen, for the players, you know, they're so grateful for the fan culture at Liverpool. There's an appreciation there as well, which, you know, we'd do it anyway, but it's nice.
Yeah, but there's appreciation back, isn't there? Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a reason why we're all so passionate about this team, and there's a reason there's so many songs with all the players, and there's a reason that we love the manager so much, because this is why we're doing it. Like, we're not Liverpool Football Club aren't playing because we're doing Liverpool songs or Liverpool podcasts. We're doing it because we love the team, and we're very, very, very pleased with what they're doing. So I just go back to, I'm so proud to be a Liverpoolian at the minute. It's, and you say it's something for the grandkids. It really is. It's cliche that saying, but to think 20 years ahead or something like that, and to be able to say, look what we've done, not just the team, us, our gang of mates, we went around the world taking our culture and our team on the road.
Yeah, we'll finish up soon because I think they're about to open it in the Angus. But I mean, it's a bit of a daft question, Sean, but did you ever imagine when you were in Oscars? I think it's Oscars is still going, isn't it? In sort of some form, when you first started, and I can't remember who it was sort of playing back then, but well, it wasn't Jamie or anything, but that one day you'd be doing these huge fan parks, you know, the Liverpool Football Club would be a partner, that, you know, the pictures would be going around the world of sort of what you did. Like, it's, you know, you couldn't have imagined it out, could you?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We started doing the boss nights in Oscars because the team were rubbish.
It was like,
in the UEFA Cup.
And everyone just wanted somewhere to go on a Sunday.
It was Thursday Sundays. So to think that we'd be even having this conversation now, it's crazy. And, you know, so appreciative of everything that's happened. So appreciative of, you know, the position that we're in and able to sort of have a saying what happens in these fan parks. I think it's an honour, to be honest, and yeah, I'm excited for hopefully some good times in the future.
Yeah, good times to keep coming. That's been fun. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah. Indeed, yeah.
Well, hopefully more to come. Fingers crossed for Paris. Fingers crossed for Istanbul, because that'll be what we've got there. And yeah, hope if you're travelling over to Paris, that's whetted the appetite a little bit. And yeah, what a team to support. What a time to be a Red.